Please stand for the gospel. Gospel today is from Matthew chapter 2, and it emphasizes just how far that light can shine to attract an audience from faraway land to draw near to the Christ. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, and of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the gospel of our Lord.
God's word we consider in our sermon today is the first lesson from 1 Kings chapter 10. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear people from a far-off nation who have come to seek, hoping to discover the wisdom and the greatness of the Son of David. Amen. Perhaps she had heard how the Lord offered him anything he wanted, and he chose a wise and discerning heart. Perhaps she had heard about how he uncovered a true mother's heart by getting out a sword and slicing through another woman's deception. Perhaps she had heard about how he had made a magnificent temple for the Lord with hundreds of tons of gold and silver. But when the Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon's fame and his relationship with the Lord, she had to come and see for herself. She had to put this king to the test. She had to see if it was all just as she had heard. She had so many questions on her heart. The Queen of Sheba is very much like so many people today, including you and me. People who long for a true and lasting connection with the Lord. People who have so many questions, deep questions. We yearn for answers. Deep things of this world, the purpose, life. People who long to know whether this Son of David and his widespread fame and all of this rich and long tradition and history, if it's well-founded. As we travel to Israel with the Queen of Sheba this morning, the Lord invites you and me also to visit another king, another Son of David, the eternal King, Jesus. And he invites us to put this king to the test. We'll see that he will exceed all of our expectations, and he will also lead us to praise the Lord. Many of us have just gotten back from a vacation over the Christmas break, and when we pack up our family, our clan, we know what it's like to plan and to prepare for a big trip. Yet this trip by the Queen of Sheba was quite the undertaking. She brought all kinds of officials and attendants and servants. She brought large amounts of gold and precious stones. She brought spices, some rare and unique and special spices that the people in Israel had not seen before. The Queen of Sheba brought many camels. Camels back in that day were the heavy-duty trucks, the suburban vans, if you will, except they got a lot better gas mileage. To give you a better idea of just how much gold the Queen of Sheba brought, she brought 120 talents to give to Solomon. That's about 9,000 pounds. Could you imagine how many camels it took to carry that much gold and how many soldiers she would have had to bring along just to guard all of that wealth? We would need several Brinks trucks today, armored cars, wouldn't we? Yet all of this glory and all of this grandeur really speaks to the honor that the Queen of Sheba had for the Lord, because, after all, it was because of Solomon's connection to the Lord that the Queen of Sheba wanted to go and visit him. What kinds of questions do you think the queen asked Solomon? There was so much that Solomon had to offer, didn't he? The Bible tells us about Solomon's extensive knowledge of plant and animal, bird and fish life. The Bible talks about how Solomon had over 1,000 proverbs. The Bible itself records and has preserved for us Solomon's wisdom in 3 books of the Old Testament: Song of Solomon, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Solomon wrote on all kinds of topics, from self-control to parenting, from riches to pleasure, from love to relationships, the use of our language and the value of a good reputation. He talked about righteousness and hard work. He talked about what it's like to rule or manage many, many people, a nation, and what the meaning of life is. We don't know exactly what questions the Queen of Sheba asked Solomon, but no matter what question she threw at him, he had an answer. For Solomon, the beginning of wisdom was the fear of the Lord. That is, to honor, to know, to be amazed by, and to put your trust in the Lord. The Lord who promised to send the offspring of the woman who would crush the serpent's head, undo sin's curse, and free us from death. That's where Solomon's wisdom started, with the fear of the Lord. What else did the Queen of Sheba see when she visited Solomon? All of Solomon's attendants and officials and servants decked out with their special uniforms. Solomon's banquet table with all the fine foods. She saw Solomon's palace that had been 13 years in the making, a cedar palace, then also his courtroom and his colonnade. All of the animals sacrificed at the temple of the Lord. And when the Queen of Sheba saw all of this, she wasn't prepared. She wasn't expecting that much. It was way more, even half of what she had heard. She was taken aback. She was left speechless, her breath taken away. All of her expectations were exceeded. As you and I travel to Israel, to Bethlehem, where another son of David was born, are we just as impressed, just as excited, just as overwhelmed? Bethlehem is, after all, a tiny city. Not nearly as many people living there as there were in Jerusalem. Not nearly as wealthy of a city. We see Jesus, just a young boy, the humble son of a carpenter's wife. And we wonder, does he have all the wisdom? Does he have all the life questions that I've been longing to have answered? How could he possibly match up with all of the other philosophers and the thinkers and the educators and the people in academia of today? In Jesus, we see a child already who was an outlaw, wanted dead by the government of his day. Is that the kind of king? Is that the person we'd want to associate ourselves with? Is he the one we'd want to sacrifice for or put our necks on the line for? When we think about the king born king of the Jews in Bethlehem, are we less than impressed? Are we not so excited? Are we not always willing to give of our time and our energy and our resources for this king? Don't be put off by his outward appearance. Put this king to the test, because in this king is hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This king is wisdom who took on flesh. He has the answer for all of our deepest yearnings: to be loved, to find purpose and significance, to have acceptance, and to find security and stability. In this King Jesus, we have hope every day. no fear of death. We're connected to something that's greater than ourselves, something with true meaning, something that will last forever. In this king, we find all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge as we put this king to the test. And in spite of all the times that we did not want to listen to this king, he speaks to us in his word day after day. In spite of all the times that we weren't willing to sacrifice for this king was willing to give up his throne in heaven for you and me. In spite of all the times we didn't think this king was worth our time and our energy, he considered you and me more valuable than his own life. In this king, we are wise for salvation, saved from death, from an eternity of hell. In this king, we have forgiveness and eternal life, eternal pleasures at God's right hand. In this king, we have all the riches of the heavenly realms. In this king, we have more than we could have ever hoped for, more than we could have ever imagined. In this king, we find all the answers. He is the answer. In this king, born in Bethlehem, he invites you to come and find an audience with him. He invites you in 2019 to come and seek his wisdom more, whether it's here in worship or in Bible class, in Sunday school, in our day school. Seek this king's wisdom and be amazed. As you put this king to the test, he will exceed all your expectations. He will also lead you to praise the Lord. Now, the Queen of Sheba, she came from her own country. She had her own subjects. She was wealthy and powerful. But as you listen to her, do you get the sense that she would have kind of liked to stay there in Israel and be a part of Solomon's kingdom? Listen again. How happy your men must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Not only did the subjects of Solomon live during a peaceful time in history, not only did they have a king who was wise and discerning and for by and large was looking out for their best interests, not only did they live underneath a king who was prosperous. Silver and gold were so plentiful in Jerusalem at that time that silver was as common as gravel, the Bible tells us. Not only did they have a king who promoted the worship of the Lord, the one true God, but they had that day in and day out, week after week, month after month, year after year. Do you think Solomon's subjects were ever tempted to take that for granted? To have a little disinterest or a little discontentment? You know, that's an easy trap for you and me to fall into, isn't it? For many of us, we've grown up with the wisdom of God's word. Many of us have opportunities to hear God's wisdom week after week here in church, week after week in school, in our own families, in our devotions. There's a wealth of online resources, print resources, electronic resources for devotions and Christian music. Do we ever take all that for granted? Does Jesus' wisdom for us ever become like a book on a shelf or a picture on a wall that you walk by and you think, that's no big deal, I've seen that before? If you've fallen into these patterns of taking Jesus and his wisdom for granted, be encouraged by the Queen of Sheba's perspective. She wants to remind us today just how happy and how fortunate and how blessed we are to have our congregation, to have opportunities all the time to hear his word, together with our larger church body, to have so many churches and schools, networks of high schools, a college, colleges, a seminary, these institutions that are devoted to bringing us into Jesus' courtroom and hearing his wisdom, training us and our children in Jesus the King. It's not a drain on our budget. It's not a burden on our energy. It's a blessing for us and our families. How happy we can be. How blessed and how fortunate we are. It's like a reason to praise the Lord, just as the Queen of Sheba did. She said, "Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness." Here we get a little bit more insight into how Solomon became king. It wasn't because he was the strongest and the most cunning of David's sons. It wasn't just because of time and chance and circumstance. No, the Lord himself saw to it that Solomon would be the next king of Israel, would be placed on the throne to rule with justice and righteousness. That's what Solomon's subjects enjoyed for a time. Sadly, as Solomon continued through his rule and his life, he married many, many women, hundreds of women, many of them from foreign countries who brought their foreign gods into Israel. And Solomon turned his heart away from the Lord after these foreign and false gods. Yet notice the eternal love that God had for Israel. In spite of Solomon's wanderings, in spite of the Israelites' weaknesses, the Lord preserved Solomon on the throne and preserved the line of the Savior, the eternal king, through David and Solomon's descendants. The eternal love of the Lord. That's an amazing thing, because as you think back on 2018, how many romances and how many relationships fell out of love and fell apart? How many people fall in love and out of love each year, yet from year to year, decade to decade, from eternity past to eternity future, the Lord's love is there for his people, for you and for me. The Lord has put Jesus on the throne to maintain righteousness and justice for us. There, when Jesus at the cross was crowned with thorns, when Jesus wore that purple robe, when Jesus had Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, that sign above his head, the Lord carried out his justice for us, his justice on sin. And when Jesus rose from the dead, the Lord proved his righteousness for us, that in Christ he was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. Jesus rules every day over all things with justice and righteousness for our benefit. That's the Lord's eternal love for us. It's reason to praise the Lord. You and I will also meet the Queen of Sheba on Judgment Day. Jesus said that on Judgment Day, the Queen of Sheba would stand and condemn those who rejected the wisdom of God, those of Jesus' generation who rejected that. You and I will stand together with the Queen of Sheba, forgiven and acquitted in Jesus, our King. We will stand there as this King ushers in the eternal Epiphany celebration. Because there, Jesus will reveal the full extent of his wealth, his greatness, his wisdom for us when he comes again with all the angels. And just like the Queen of Sheba did with Solomon, there in the presence of our eternal King Jesus, we'll be left speechless, taken aback, overwhelmed, all of our expectations exceeded in the eternal life that he comes to bring to us. We will praise him forever, our eternal King, for our God's eternal love. Starting now and every day, let's praise the Lord for our Epiphany King and our place in his kingdom. Amen. Please stand.